is going.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
So we had some technical difficulties last week.
Sorry
about that, people. I know you guys expect more out of us. But
the Shadow Man, the Hat Man came in here and fucked everything up.
Started
all the cameras.
Unplugging shit. Fuck.
Shit was knocked down. Yeah. Everything was all fucked up.
So, we're back though.
Whee!
Took us a little over a week to get everything all put her back together and
get her all situated.
Yeah. Fucking Hat Man.
That bitch.
Give him a key to the place one time, and he fucking thinks he owns the place.
That's why you don't let him take a shit in your house.
Yeah, come on. I was trying to be nice. I was like, man, cold out, rainy.
Had to watch his little black-eyed kids.
Yeah, you know, I was like, come on. You know, I know your little black-eyed child needs to go to the bathroom. I let him in, use the bathroom one time, and now they think they can come and go whenever they want, and they fucking wreck everything. Fucking bastards.
Those motherfuckers. I should have been here. I could have detoured the
situation. Yeah, I know. You have the perfect deterrence for anybody, not just black-eyed kids.
Well, you know what? That's my only source of battle-ready weaponry, okay? That's what I gotta use.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's battle-ready.
It's a choking hazard.
It's probably not ever... Yeah.
It's a choking hazard. Just like Legos, okay? That's right. I make fun of it.
Only smaller.
Yep, only smaller. I sneak in, kind of like a ninja, and then I just fucking and throw bag, throw punch. Oh god.
Oh man.
Oh, dude,
that's just some funny shit right there.
Dude, I got some cool shit to talk about. Guess what's coming?
Don't make me beg now.
Guess what's coming to a video game near you?
You got me.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space is being a video game. I looked it up. It's a 4v7 horror game.
Oh my god. And four clowns, sick. Seven people.
And it follows the movie.
Fuck yeah.
Yup.
That's fucking awesome. I can't wait to see that.
That's gonna be sick
as
fuck.
See and play it.
I think it's coming out next year is when.
Okay, cool.
Around the time.
Is there gonna be a beta version that we can get our hands on early?
Possibly.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, let's keep an eye out for that. For those of you into that shit, fucking, we'll post it on our page and shit.
I think that'd be pretty kick-ass. I think we should play it on here.
Fuck yes. I love Killer Clowns.
Fuck yeah.
They're one of my favorites. I know it's a cheesy fucking movie, but it's like the...
Good.
It's like the height of the 80s movies. I mean, like, you just can't beat it. I just fucking watched that movie last night. Fucking watched it last night.
And I'm seeing more and more things about the Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Like, there's more shit coming, like, merch and stuff like that I've seen.
There's a lot of merch at Spirit of Halloween.
Yeah.
I went there last night as well. That's part of what put me onto the kick to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because I went there and I saw all the merch. And so I sat there, I watched the movie, I got my little Killer Clowns from Outer Space fucking cup I was drinking out of while I was watching the movie.
Fuck yeah.
And I got myself a little shot glass. I don't know where our shot glasses went. I thought maybe we'd bring them in here, but...
Oh, shit, we didn't.
You didn't. You want to go grab it real quick?
I can go grab it.
Hold on just one second here, folks. He's fucking...
Oh, my goodness.
Special needs here. Forgetting all of the shit.
All right, but they can still hear me, though.
Oh, yeah, they can still hear you. So don't be out there jerking off or anything. They're going to fucking hear that shit.
Oh,
nobody
my God.
Wants
I wonder what happened
nor see
going
to
the abyss
like
right
that.
Now.
So... there's a lot of cool different merch of Killer Clowns from Outer Space at Spirit, and like there's a cool cloth door cover that's the clowns,
and a back
of a shot glass set of four shot glasses from Killer Clowns. Obviously they have their Shorty the prop there, and they just have all kinds of cool shit now. Oh, they have some of the costumes at Spirit. They have like the ray gun and stuff.
They have the ray gun.
The
That's
ray gun.
Sick.
Yes, I'm gonna go back and get it. There was so much stuff. I'm like, I gotta spread it out between paydays.
No, I feel it. I feel it.
I'm gonna get the door cover though. The door cover's gonna be pretty badass. We'll put it on our office door here.
That'd be sick as fuck. Hell yeah, I'm down. I'm ready.
It looks like the Killer Clowns are looking through the doorway.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is gonna be fucking awesome.
Okay. Okay. I love it. I love it. But I'm excited.
I'm really excited. I have some exciting stuff too.
What do you got?
So I just read an article. It's not 100% confirmed. So it's still kind of like a rumor type phase.
Okay.
But Sean Cunningham.
Okay. Yes.
You know who he is.
Yes.
You know what he's created.
Mm-hmm.
Has said that we could possibly expect a new installment for Friday the 13th series.
Finally!
Yes.
Oh my god, finally.
New installment.
Dude, how long has this been going on for?
And you know what? That will make the 13th film in the Friday the 13th series.
God damn it. Because they ended at 12, and that's yes. such a bad number.
And it was only ended at 12 because, I mean, there's 12 theatrical movies.
But
the one was a remake.
Yeah, and there's also the fan-made.
There's a lot of fan-made ones, which are really good.
Yeah.
Vengeance. Never Hike Alone.
Oh,
that's a three-part series.
I remember you showing me and Bacon that actually watched that out there. Yeah.
Yep. Vengeance is getting a spinoff, Vengeance 2.
Really?
I believe that comes out this year. I could be wrong, but I believe it's coming out this year.
Fuck yeah, okay.
Same actor plays Jason Brooks.
Shit, okay.
Local man from Washington State.
That's fucking dope.
He's from fucking over on the coast in Seattle area. He got his start by acting in a haunted house.
See, that is what's up. Respect the shit out of that.
You know?
Hometown. Home state.
Yeah.
Close to home. I love it. Support and respect it.
Some good shit right there, you know? I mean, fuck.
We better get this shit soon. I want to see Jason on the big screen again very, very, very soon.
I know. I am super excited. We will fucking be there.
Yeah, we're going to watch it.
We will.
Yep.
I will see it in the theater.
Oh, me too. I'm down.
Hands down. You know, speaking of watching Jason in theater, my youngest daughter, Chloe, that was actually her first theatrical movie she saw was Jason... Jason X.
Oh, that was
the first movie she saw in theaters. Just a tiny little thing. Tiny little baby.
Did you get judged for people?
I did. Actually, I got judged for taking her to a lot of looks and stuff. And people were like, oh, I can't believe he's taking a baby to go see this. And, dude, and like, a lot of people were pissed off because they thought that, you know, like, typically babies in theaters, God, they fucking annoy the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because they're not quiet. She was quiet through the whole fucking movie. Not a sound.
That's what.
And at the end, people were like, damn. And some people didn't even realize I had her with me. And when I got up and left, they saw, they're like, there's a baby in here?
Yeah, she's a good baby.
Yeah. Funny thing. So she was super quiet through that. And then later on, I took her to, I think, Cars or something like that. Or Spider-Man or something like that. No, Spider-Man was a couple years later. But while she was a baby, maybe a couple months later, not quiet at all.
Oh, shit.
Fucking fussy and shit. And, it was a kid's movie, too. She was fussy and shit. And then then I would take her to another horror movie and quiet.
That's what's up. So she, you know, grew up on it. I love it.
She grew up on it, you know. Her first fucking horror movie and first theatrical movie ever. Jason X. With the best Jason ever, Kane Hodder.
Yeah, Kane Hodder. I liked the suit. I thought the suit was cool.
The suit was badass.
It's not my favorite Jason movie.
It is definitely not my favorite. It has some really badass kills.
Yeah, it does.
I love the kills. It was more of a cheesy, like, movie. It wasn't horror.
Yeah, no, it was
more like a B movie, I guess I'd say. Like Wolf Cop or something like that. Or Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It was kind of the vibe I got out of it.
That's still good.
I'm sorry. I thought I had my sound turned off on my phone, and my phone went off.
Text whoever just sent that and be like, you rude son of a bitch.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So that's one of my exciting news.
That's what's up. I'm fucking okay. I'm stoked.
Another
now.
One. I don't know if you noticed, I got myself a new cup.
I did see that.
Pretty fucking sweet.
I
you forgot your
I
cup.
Did. I did.
So we, the haunted house that I own and operate, does a We have a booth. It's called Safe Archery. I'll throw a picture up for those watching YouTube later. It's called Safe Archery. It's basically bow and arrow. With the arrows have a foam tip, and it's got a almost like a bounce house kind of thing. It blows up the display, and the back is zombies, and then it's got like four balls, and they just kind of float
in the air.
And you shoot them down with arrows. And we take that to events to raise awareness and just a little bit of funds for the haunted house. And so this year we went to just downtown from us, a motorcycle rally. We've been at this motorcycle rally since the very start of it 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And this lady was there with some really cool cups, and she does custom cups and stuff. This just happened to be one that was on her table, had a custom topper to it. I don't know if anybody can really see it. It's just got different serial killers on it. Like, there's a picture of Gacy on there, the Son of Sam, the Green River Killer, just a bunch of different killers on there. With some blood splatter, and then the topper, the way it is. Badass. We'll throw her contact information up.
Hell yeah.
She's local to the community and stuff, and so we always try to help one another in the community like that.
Yeah. I think it's very important to spread, you know, help people out like that.
Really cool cup. I want to say it was $30 for the cup.
Yeah, it was 30. It was 30
bucks. $30 out the door for the cup. Now, obviously, if you're getting a ship, there's going to be shipping.
Yeah.
But it was $22 for the cup and a regular lid, and then $8 for the special badass lid. And she showed me a picture or a short video. She had a Jaws one that she did that had like a miniature TV on it that had a remote and everything, and the TV fucking worked.
How the hell did she do that?
And what it's battery operated. Yeah, it's battery operated. Had a little charge port for it to charge it. And it, the TV only played the Jaws movie.
The entire movie?
Yeah.
No fucking way.
On this tiny little TV, it just sits on your cup. It's all part of the cup.
How the fuck do you do that?
I don't know, but it's fucking badass. And I was like, if you had had that cup there, I would have fucking bought it right then.
That is the coolest fucking cup. Maybe she can make us like a custom one with like a custom movie.
Yeah, she said that she could make custom cups, custom orders. I'm thinking maybe might look in getting one with the our logo on it and some cryptids maybe, or our logo and maybe some horror movie monsters on it or something.
That'd be sick.
You know, maybe we can raffle it off.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool, actually. Yeah.
Raffle off a limited edition Fearful Thoughts tumbler cup with a cool shit.
Little badass shit on it, all customized. Yeah. I love it. What
else you got? Anything else new, man?
Not that I can think of.
Really? I've been watching like a bunch of different like shit lately, and so my brain is so fucking scattered right now with all the shit I've been watching and reading about, and just I need to start writing this shit down because I come across this really cool stuff. God, you know, I'm drawing. Halloween's just around the corner, so you know that definitely plays a part in like what's going on in my head right now, because I got that going on and this, and then of course work and.
I feel it, understandably.
Life changes.
There's a lot of shit. A
lot of shit happening, you know. So, yeah, there was definitely something else I wanted to bring up and talk about. And I completely spaced it off. I can't remember what it was now. I'll just have to take notes and stuff.
That's all good. I mean, if you remember it.
Start writing stuff down.
I was going to say, if you remember it.
It was a movie I watched.
Oh.
That's the sad part. Usually I remember movies pretty good. I think last time we talked about Studio 666.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
That was a good one.
I'm drawing a blank. So
it's all good.
You know, if I got nothing else, you got nothing else. I guess this is a short episode.
Oh, fuck it. Whatever.
Nah, just fucking with you guys. We're not done yet. You thought you got over with easy 15 minutes.
You bitches.
Buckle up, bitches. You've signed up for an hour. At least. All right, so this week's fear... God damn it, I'm sorry. Again, my brain just... This week's horror fact, we're going to be talking about The Evil Dead. The Evil Dead was inspired by a short film directed by Sam Raimi. In order to get potential investors for his feature-length film, Raimi created a horror short, Within the Woods, 1978, what he called a prototype film in order to demonstrate his skills as a director. The young director cast his friends Bruce Campbell and Ellen Sandweiss as the two protagonists and produced the film for an incredibly small sum of just $1,600. In the original version of the script, there was a scene where the characters smoked marijuana. When they first listened to the tape, being the method actors that they were, the cast decided to smoke marijuana for real. And the entire scene had to be later reshot due to their incredibly uncontrollable laughter and behavior during the filming of that scene. Being on such a tight budget, though, it meant that Raimi couldn't afford a Steadicam, so he had to get creative once again. The director opted to use the shaky cam technique, which gave The Evil Dead its unique look. A couple of different rigs were built to produce the creative movements, including the shaky cam, the Ram-O-Cam. Stephen King was present at the screening during the Cannes Film Festival and gave the film a raving review. USA Today released an article about King's favorite horror films. The author cited The Evil Dead as his fifth favorite film of the genre. He became one of the film's largest supporters during the early efforts to help find a distributor, eventually describing it as the most ferociously original film of the year. His quote ended up being used on the film's promotional pieces and the Vazocam. The Hills Have Eyes 1977 poster, which can be seen in The Evil Dead, was the director's tribute to the Ripped Jaws 1975 poster, which can be seen in Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes. Craven was also honored that he made sure to repay the homage in having the character Nancy watch The Evil Dead in A Nightmare on Elm Street. Touched by this, Raimi responded by hanging a Freddy glove about the tool shed door in Evil Dead 2.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
That is pretty kick-ass.
That's some cool shit. I love the fact that, you know, they showed respect to each other just back and forth by putting different things in the film like that, you know?
Yeah, go back. Can you go back to that screen, though? I was looking at that one picture.
Which picture are you looking at?
Well, I was looking at the one where it's just ash in it. Not that one.
He's awfully young right there.
Yeah, but it was like, it looked kind of shaky. I was seeing if it like showed it.
Okay.
Well, it was that one.
That one?
Yeah, it kind of got like a, it looks shaky.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I just love how the poster and then doing the, you know, the Freddy glove and stuff in the movies, just really cool stuff. And then like having Nancy watching Evil Dead, you know, just that shit like that.
Some fucking tributes
really
there.
Cool, you know. Yeah. And the fact that later on in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, somewhere in there, I don't remember the exact year or anything like that. But it was in the 90s. There was actually a comic book series called Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Oh shit! Yeah.
So, and I'd love to see that. If I remember right, when Freddy versus Jason came out, people were questioning if Ash was gonna make like some sort of like appearance to help, you know, to pay homage to that comic book series, or even do a spin-off series like that, you know.
Or even just like a just a quick little cameo.
And, yeah, something. Didn't happen. But the Necronomicon did make its appearance in Jason Goes to Hell.
That is true. So
because they and they got permission from Raimi, if I remember right. It's been a while since I've read the article, so the details might be a little fuzzy. But if I remember right, the director from Jason Goes to Hell was a huge fan of Evil Dead and stuff. And he talked to Raimi and got permission to use the Necronomicon, that exact Necronomicon, in Jason Goes to Hell to give Jason a little bit of a background, a lore to him.
Okay.
And it actually ties him to the Evil Dead universe, making him a Deadite.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, shit. See, that the deeper you get into lore like that, the more interesting it becomes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Well, I just think that's really badass. And if you think about it, if that's true, I mean, just theorizing here, because Ash, I mean, the Evil Dead series, isn't that technically in the Marvel universe? They had a comic. I think it was,
could be. I don't remember. It's been
a minute. The thing that I remember, I was watching this video of this like comic series of Ash versus the Marvel Universe, basically. Yeah. And it was like the Deadites and fucking Unleashed, basically this thing onto the world that created zombies. And so everybody became like the undead and everything like that.
Yeah, Marvel zombies. Yep.
Yep. And so he kept on fucking killing them. And yeah.
Wow.
No, so it was pretty interesting. So can you just imagine if Jason Voorhees is part of the Marvel Universe?
Right?
How would that work?
And because Marvel's owned by Disney, would that make him a Disney princess?
I was going to say princess.
You said princess. I'm saying prince. A Disney prince.
His mom's fucking cut-off head is a princess. instead of fucking Tinkerbell swirling around,
it's
her head just swirling around. Just fucking...
Oh, man.
Blood splattering over.
If I remember right, in the game, her head kind of like spun around.
God.
In the Nintendo game.
That's fucking sick.
Or maybe it was a promotional image I saw.
Okay.
It's been such a long time, I don't remember. Exactly.
That'd be funny as fuck.
Yeah, instead of Tinkerbell flying around the castle and then going, ding, and it says Disney, it's his mom's head.
Blood just dripping.
That's what makes the arch, is the blood.
No, it's not even, well, it's not even just her head, it's Jason putting her head against the thing going like that. Oh my god.
Oh man.
I can imagine that.
Speaking of Disney and stuff, though, Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie Blood the motherfucking Pooh.
Blood and Honey.
God, it's so cursed looking.
I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, I used to like.
It's fucking hideous looking.
It's so bad.
I just can't wait to see. You know, it's all because Christopher Robin abandoned Winnie the Pooh and Piglet.
He's like, just sitting in his little hut. He's like, oh bother. I'm so hungry. Christopher Robin. Just fucking...
That actually runs right along with what I thought I had read. That the reason why... How they're explaining how the other characters aren't there is because Christopher Robin left. Forgot about them. And they ran out of food. And Piglet and Honey and Pooh... Piglet and Pooh ate the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're out for blood.
I'm sorry, Rabbit. Just fucking. Oh God, it's gonna be so cursed. For fuck's sake,
it's gonna be fucking great, man. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah, phenomenal.
That's badass, though. I'm excited.
But that was the other news I was gonna talk about.
What we got?
Talking about, you know, the Blood and Honey thing that just the blood and guts really just bink. Terrifier 2.
Yes!
The trailer is out.
That's right!
The trailer is out.
Oh my fucking god.
I have not watched it yet. I keep meaning to.
Okay.
It's just, I want to be in a setting where I can enjoy it. Because, like, when I've been seeing it tagged and stuff, I'm at work. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to watch it at work. I want to be able to, like, I want to I want to put it up on my 75-inch fucking TV with my fucking surround sound.
And watch
and
it.
And watch the fucking, and be immersed into the fucking trailer.
I like it. I like it.
So, maybe after this episode, we'll go pull it up and watch it. But it's out. The official trailer has been dropped. It's out. It comes out this October. I don't remember the exact release date.
Is that on...
I don't recall where at.
Well, cause
I know that it was going to be dropped this October.
I know it's not going to
theater.
Yeah, because we talked
about
that. It cannot
go to theater because then they would be subject to the, was that the MPAA rating or whatever?
Yeah.
Whatever the movie rating system is. And they could, there's no way that, they would lose like 90% of the fucking film just to get an R rating.
Because it's basically...
You know, they have like a 2.5 hour fucking film. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying. And it would end up being like a 10-minute fucking film cutting out everything just to get an R rating.
You're just skipping every second, like just... Ah, just fucking...
Yeah, you know, just... Holy fuck.
Oh, God.
Can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be kick-ass.
I remember when we interviewed David Howard Thornton, and he said that there should be some kills in there that will rival... the hacksaw kill in the first one.
Yeah, I do remember that, and I'm
I'm holding them to it. So, David, if you're watching, listening to us, I mean, for one, awesome, sweet, that's fucking awesome, badass. Two, we're coming after you if it does not rival that scene.
Well, we can't say that. Sounds like a threat. I feel like we're gonna get like a cease and desist thing.
Oh,
fucking restraining order.
I'm not worried about it. He lives somewhere else, nowhere near us. The podcast does not have enough money to pay for us to have plane tickets to go over and find him. So, I think he's pretty safe.
Okay, fine, I suppose.
So,
but
we'll just post it all over Facebook.
We're looking for David.
It's like, where's Waldo?
No, where's Waldo? David? Where's David? God, that'd be great.
Oh man. He's running around doing all kinds of PR at different conventions right now.
Mm-hmm.
I see the pictures, follow him on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen, there's a few other people that were at different conventions that I, last minute, must have been over at, like, Emerald City.
So there's a new convention just came up and popped up.
Here in Washington?
No. Okay. I wish. Trust me, we would fucking been there.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the convention. Off the top of my head. But it's put on by the lead singer of Ice Nine Kills.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's his convention. He put his name's all over it and everything.
God, that'd be sick.
Yeah, so hopefully the convention, being the first annual, will go over really well. Because we're going next year.
You're going next year?
We're going to go next year.
We already got a few conventions that we're going to next year. Shit. That'd be a busy motherfucker.
The bitches on.
All right.
Fucking podcast around the states.
Podcasting. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Fuck yeah, man. So.
Fuck yeah.
That's what I remembered all of a sudden. It was just the movie thing. So.
No, it's exciting. I'm excited.
I'm super excited. I'm pumped up now.
Fuck yeah.
Can't wait for this to be over with. The episode so we can watch the trailer.
All right. Let's get it over with.
See you, fuckers.
No. Bye.
What do you got for us? One story, two story, six
I got
stories.
One story, but it's long.
Yeah, that's what she said.
It's not very thick, but it's definitely long. It's not rich in story, but it's long. Anyway, I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I also have one long story.
You trying to compare? How many pages you got?
Well, I... Shit. 10?
I got 16.
I got 10? So, mine's long but girthy.
Oh, you got girth. Okay. All right. So, this story is a little bit different, but it's
different than, like, last episode's different. I mean, that one was different.
No.
And that one good different.
I feel like this one's a good different, too.
Okay.
This story has to do with sleep paralysis. Which I don't think we've really covered that much.
Techie Tech Guy has done a story on sleep paralysis.
Okay.
He has.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what you got, if it's the same fucking story as what he did or not.
I'll tell you the title, and then you can tell me.
Okay.
It's called The Cold Lick of Death.
No.
Nope. Okay.
I thought it was title-wise, it's not.
Well, you know what?
He delved into sleep paralysis in general.
Yeah. And this is like...
And then went into, like... His was definitely a lot more technical.
Oh, so like the science and shit behind
The science behind it a little bit. And then like some of the like sleep paralysis demons and stuff he brought into it. It was a really good... If you guys haven't seen it or heard, listen to it. Go check it out. Really good episode. Techie Tech Guy, man. When he comes with stories, he never disappoints.
We miss you.
We do miss you, Techie Tech Guy. In fact, we should just take a shot for him.
Alright, let's do it. And our new and unabused shot glasses. Wanna shot me up?
I'll shoot you up, alright. Yeah, our Techie Tech Guy, man. We miss him. We love him. Pretty soon, I think, hopefully, he will be shooting us at least some stories. He said that he was going to at least... He's not able to be here in person. He's always here in spirit. That he's going to send us some stories to read for him and stuff. And it's going to be great. He always comes with some good stuff. And so, to you, Techie Tech Guy.
Cheers, buddy.
Woo! Woo! A little different without the
Red Bull. Yeah, fuck.
Red Bull makes a difference.
Red Bull gives you wings.
Woo! With that, who wants to go first? You want to flip a coin?
Okay. What do you got?
We got three different coins here. We've got Mantis Man, Hat Man, and Basquatch. But I feel like Hat Man is very appropriate, since you have a sleep paralysis story, and he is sometimes tied to sleep paralysis. So, all right. One side has Hat Man, the other side says Cryptid Crate. I'm going to go for Cryptid Crate side.
Cryptid Crate?
Okay. So... What do we got?
Okay. Hold up. Ready?
And the winner is...
Cryptic Crate.
Alright.
Alright.
Sweet.
So you're up first?
That's how we're going to start doing this from now on.
I like
it. We're just going to flip coins.
Just fuck it. Let's do it.
We got three different ones. Hopefully, Cryptic Crate will be sending some more coins. These are badass coins. They got some weight to them.
Yeah, they do.
And the detail, the amount of detail on each one is phenomenal.
How they're etched in is just fucking great. Yeah.
There's a company that makes those for Cryptid Crate.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of the company. But, anyways.
What do you got?
I have one story, like I said.
Okay.
My story is based in Tennessee.
Tennessee whiskey.
Tennessee.
All right.
It's a pretty famous story. There's actually been movies made about it and stuff.
Okay.
So, based on some true events and whatnot.
You've piqued my interest.
So, without further ado, we'll get into it. We are going to be talking about the Bell Witch. It has been called America's greatest ghost story, and it happened right in Tennessee. In the decades since the witch, or spirit, first manifested around the Bell family on their farm in Robertson County in the early 19th century, the Bell Witch has attracted the attention of ghost hunters, skeptics, supernaturalists, religious leaders, storytellers, authors, historians, and curious citizens from all around the world. Earlier sources of the Bell Witch legend are dubious at best, but provide a terrific look into the perseverance of the legend and the progression of the Bell Witch story through the years. The two most famous sources, An Authenticated History of the Famous Bell Witch by M.V. Ingram, published in 1894, and A Mysterious Spirit The Bell Witch of Tennessee by Charles Style. Both these sources tell a fascinating story of the supernatural and provide the basis for much of the Bell Witch folklore. The Bell Family. John Bell was born in Halifax County, North Carolina in 1750, the son of William Bell and Anne Jones. In 1782, John Bell married Lucy Williams, daughter of prominent farmer John Williams of Edgecombe County, North Carolina. The Bells bought a farm in Edgecombe County and began amassing wealth and influence in the area. In 1804, the family consisting of John and Lucy Bell and their children Jesse, John, Jr., Drury, Benjamin, Esther, Zadok, Elizabeth, Richard Williams, and Joel Egbert built a house and started a farm on 1,000 acres located on the Red River of Robertson County, Tennessee. Of their children, Benjamin died as a young child. Zadok became a prominent lawyer and moved to Mississippi, where he also died relatively young. Esther married Bennett Porter in 1817. Jesse married Martha Gunn, daughter of Reverend Thomas Gunn, and later moved to Mississippi. John Bell Jr. married Elizabeth Gunn, also daughter of Reverend Thomas Gunn, and became a successful farmer in Robertson County. Drury never married and owned a farm on the north side of the Red River. Elizabeth, Betsy Bell, eventually married her former teacher, Richard Powell, and moved to Mississippi. Richard Williams Bell was married 3 times to Sally Gunn, daughter of Reverend James Gunn, Susan Gunn, and Elizabeth Orndorff. He lived out his life in Robertson County. The youngest child, Joel Egbert, married twice and moved to Springfield. Despite the lasting impact of what the Bells termed out our family trouble, the family continued to flourish, and some descendants of the Bells still live in Tennessee and other southern Midwestern states. The origin of the legendary Bell Witch is, of course, a mystery. In early accounts, the spirit itself provides its origin, stating, "I'm a spirit. I once was very happy, but I have been disturbed and made unhappy. I am the spirit of a person who was buried in the woods nearby, and the grave was disturbed, my bones disinterred and scattered, and one of my teeth was lost under this house. I am here looking for my tooth." Of course, this cannot be verified. However, a number of Indian burial mounds could be found within that region. In another event, the witch claimed to be a spirit from everywhere, heaven, hell, the earth. I am in the air, the houses, any place, at any time. I've been created millions of years. The first appearance of the unusual disturbance surrounding the Bell family is usually reported as an incident on the farm in which John Bell fired a shot at a dog-like creature, which vanished. Drury and Betsy also began to see strange creatures near the property. These sights were accompanied by strange sounds around the house. Betsy, Drury, and John began to hear unaccounted for knocking on the door and windows, the sound of wings flapping against ceilings, and the sound of rats gnawing on bedposts. More disturbingly, the sound of choking and strangling could be heard, along with chains dragging and heavy objects hitting the floor. Sounds emanating from the bedroom as if beds were suddenly and roughly pulled apart, to which was added to the sounds of fighting dogs chained together, making the noise deafening. In all cases, the source of the noise was never found. No rats were ever found in the home, despite thorough searching, and no damage to the furniture was ever discovered. During these demonstrations, the family refused to speak of the events to their neighbors. long story, I got it. The spirit increased its activity, sometimes physically abusing the members of the family. Joel, Richard Williams, and especially Betsy were subjected to be struck, pinched, and having their hair pulled relentlessly by the Bell Witch. Lucy Bell and John Jr. were left relatively unharmed by the witch. Lucy was proclaimed by the spirit to be the most perfect woman living. And the witch showed a great deal of compassion towards her, even caring for her and singing to her while she was ill. John Jr. had long, intense conversations with the witch, but he never failed to show his animosity for it, declaring it to be the spirit of the damned. On one of the famous occasions, the witch recited perfectly the sermon of Reverend James Gunn of Bethel Methodist Church, followed by the sermon of Sugg Fort, despite the fact that they had originally been given at the same time, more than 12 miles apart. Meaning which, there was no way somebody could have known both. A family friend, William Porter, claimed the witch climbed into bed with him, allowing him the opportunity to seize the spirit in the bed clothes and attempted to throw it into the fire, saying only the immense weight of the terrible smell of it prevented him from succeeding. The witch had a dislike for the family's slaves, tormenting them, relentlessly beating them, and refusing to allow them into the house. A Bell slave named Dean stated he encountered the witch several times, and that it appeared frequently in the form of a large black dog or wolf. Sometimes with two heads, sometimes with no head. Dean also claimed to be turned into a mule and attacked several times by the witch. He always carried with him his axe and a witch ball, made by his wife as protection from the witch's influence. Another neighbor and husband, Esther Bell, Bennett Porter, fired a shot at a knotty log that had been conjured upon by the witch. She struck the bark and it cut into it, but the conjuration vanished. Only the bent tree and bullet hole remained. John Bell Sr. and Betsy Bell seemed to be the two most frequently abused by the witch. For reasons still unclear, the witch adamantly opposed the union of childhood sweethearts, Betsy Bell and Joshua Gardner, frequently resorting to ruthless taunts and physical abuse. Joshua and Betsy remained attached, but she put off marriage in fear of the spirit's reprisal. The witch's attacks on Betsy were not all related to her relationship with Gardner, and the consistent threat of the witch began to affect her such as that she became prone to fainting spells and smothering sensations, often appearing exhausted and lifeless. Her experiences were not confined to the Bell property either. Betsy later described one incident when the spirit became so tantalizing, filling my mind with horror and causing me to become so nervous. My parents often sent me to the neighbors to rest for the night. My first night away from home was spent with Theney Thorne. When we retired, there came a loud knocking on their outside door, which seemed to fly open, and a great gust of wind was felt. Theney sprang up at once and lit a candle, but to our surprise, the door was not open. Then a voice spoke softly. Betsy, you should not have come over here. You know I can follow you anywhere. Now get a good night's sleep. A soft hand patted the cheek, and the voice again assured us that we would not be disturbed anymore that night. For the rest of the family often attempted to give Betsy relief, and a family friend, Frank Miles, promised to protect Betsy from any further abuse by the spirit. Betsy said, Frank was the best and most powerful man of any of us ever saw. and just as fearless as any living man. One time he said to me, "Come sit by me, little sister. Nothing will bother you while I am here." The witch responded, "You go home. You could do no good here." The witch then began abusing Betsy, slapping her, pulling her hair before turning on Miles, knocking him over and enraging him. Betsy continued to endure the spirit's abuse, and after calling off the marriage to Gardner, Betsy was eventually courted and married to her former school teacher, Richard Powell. Despite the apparent abatement of the witch's torments, in 1820, she left the area with her husband and settled in Mississippi. One of the central goals of the Bell Witch seemed to be the death of John Bell Sr. Old Jack Bell, as the spirit called him, was blasted with curses, heinous threats, and serious physical torments. As the abuse continued to impact his psyche, Bell took to his bed and was cared for by John Jr. On December 19th, 1820, John Bell failed to leave his bed, and John Jr. went to the cupboard to retrieve the medicine for his care. Instead of the three medicine vials, he found only one vial. It was one third full of a dark, smoky liquid of unknown origin. The voice of the witch gloated, "It's useless for you to try to relieve old Jack. I have got him this time. He will never get out of that bed again." While he was fast asleep, which fixated him, the contents of the vial were thrown to the fire and erupted in a blue blaze. John Bell died December 20th, 1820. The Bell Witch crashed the funeral, disrupting the service and singing body drinking songs. Legend has it, the Bell Witch even had an encounter with the then future president, Andrew Jackson. Jackson owned property on the Red River and desired to visit the Bell Farm after hearing the stories. One of his wagons became struck by an unseen force and could not be moved, despite whipping the horses, examining the wheels, and having it pushed by the men in his party. He exclaimed, "By the eternal boys, this is the witch." To which the witch replied, "All right, General, let's let the wagon move on. I will see you again tonight." The wagon started off on its own accord, and then they continued on their journey. That evening at camp, a self-proclaimed witch lair, or witch hunter, said she had a silver bullet and regaled the men with the tales of the haunting witches. Jackson whispered to the colleagues, "I'll bet this fellow is an arrant coward. By the internals, I do wish this thing would come. I want to see him run." After which silence followed, suddenly there was a sound of light footsteps prancing on the floor, and the voice stated, "All right, General, I'm on hand and ready for business." The witchblade and the witch hunter to shoot the gun, it didn't fire. The hunter was struck by an unseen force, claimed to feel the pain of being struck by needles, exclaimed he had been grabbed by the nose, and fled from the tent. The witch exclaimed, "How the devil did run and beg. I bet he won't come through here again with his old horse pistol to shoot me. I guess that's funny enough for tonight, General. And you can go to bed now. I will come tomorrow night and show you another rascal in this crowd." Jackson was eager to stay, but his party had enough, and Jackson returned to Nashville shortly thereafter. Mary Catherine, Kate Bates, the wife of Frederick Batts, was believed by many to have been the culprit behind the disturbances known as the Bell Witch. Although not a poor woman, she was often mocked by others throughout the Red River settlement in Robertson County. Her improper usage of words, along with her sometimes strange ways, led many to think she was practicing black magic or other forms of the occult. In early years of the century, Benjamin Batts, brother of Frederick, had a dispute with John Bell over the sale of a slave. Facts of the dispute were later tangled and became the source of a rumor to which the effect of John Bell and Kate Batts had quarreled, and that the Bell Witch was created by Kate Batts to get revenge on the Bell family. While there are plenty of stories connecting the Bell Witch to Kate and some sort of disagreement that existed between her and John Bell, recent evidence suggests that she had nothing to do with it. In fact, contrary to reports of her claiming that she would get even with John Bell on her deathbed, Kate Batts actually outlived John Bell by many years. Today, there are many descendants of the Batts family living in Cheatham, Montgomery, and Robertson County. Though it played a relatively minor role, the original Bell Witch legend of the early 19th century, the cave on John Bell's property, has since become the focal point for visitors hoping to experience a bit of the haunting themselves. Added to the National Historical Registry in 2008, the cave is the only original feature from the legend that can still be seen today, largely unchanged from the way the Bell family would have seen it in 1817. Though numerous eerie events have been reported by visitors to the cave, including the renowned difficulty of taking photographs around the site in the pre-digital era, nothing on the scale of the original haunting centered around the Bell House, long since torn down, has been reported since the early 1800s. Following the death of John Bell, though, the witch's activity dropped off sharply. The spirit was still active through the winter and the spring of 1821, but it soon bade the family farewell, telling them it would be gone for 7 years. True to its word, the family remaining on the property, Lucy, Richard Williams, and Joel, claimed that the witch did return February 1828, reappearing in much the same way it appeared the first time, shaking beds and unexplained noises. It soon vanished again, exclaimed it would return to haunt the Bell descendants once again in 1935, but no other specific hauntings of the Bell family or their property on the level experienced in the early 19th century has been reported since. Despite this, unexplained activity in and around the Bell Farm in Adams, Tennessee continues. Various encounters near the property along the old Nashville-Clarksville Road and in the famous Bell Witch Cave still draws tourists and ghost hunters to Adams. The Bell Witch has been the subject of countless modern books, analyses, documentaries, and movies, including 2006 wide-release motion picture An American Haunting, very loosely based on the Bell Witch legend. Though the haunting of the Bell family apparently ended nearly 200 years ago, tales of the Bell Witch are as compelling in 2009 as they were in 1819.
So this is The Cold Lick of Death, and it's about the sleep paralysis that this guy just goes through, and it's fucking weird. It's absolutely, I don't know, it's just weird. But anyway, so we're going to dive into this. Kabir had never encountered a sleep paralysis episode before. He would often wave off that thought by saying it sounded utterly stupid, but he knew in the back of his head that it bothered him since one of his cousins kept telling him about what happens and how you feel when your body gets arrested. He had read about it on the internet as well and often wondered how it might affect the victim in reality, until the day came when the sleep paralysis episode happened to him too. Here's a little account of how sleep paralysis episodes stifled Kabir up and got the better of him. Why don't you guys ever clean the spot once you guys are done eating? Jeep pointed at the smears on the floor. There were food stains of dal, curry, and whatnot. The boy next door was disgusted by the ways of his neighbors, but he liked frequenting them because they were cool. Also, they always somehow happened to have sugar every time he came. He continued, I have seen you ignore it as if someone is going to come and do that for you. Vinish was quick to retort, if it bothers you so much, why don't you clean it yourself? Here, Kabir threw a piece of cloth at Jeep. I want this room spick and span. Vinish chimed in almost reflexively. Given the amount of things you have taken from us over the past 2 months, I think you owe us a good cleaning. Kabir ordered, chop chop. And Jeet was pissed, obviously. Friggin' psychos. Flustered, he got up to leave. Cleaning, my dear friend, is for the weekends. It's a silent understanding and a sacred truth we roomies have come to terms with. Kabir replied calmly after realizing Jeet had been insulted enough. You guys disgust me. Jeet replied, I'm gonna go now. Their faces lit up almost immediately. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Vinish overreacted, tossing his hands in the air. Please don't come back. Kabir was quick to add before shutting the door on him. It was a small place where Kabir and Vinish lived, an untidy 1BHK apartment they had somehow managed to find right next to their college. They preferred to sleeping in the hall to one room they had primarily because it housed plenty of space for them to play indoor cricket during holidays, leaving out enough space for their two mattresses to crash. They slept on each side of the wall with their mattresses, leaving out an apparent passage between where they used to dine. That's where the stains were, always there, and their lazy ass would never clean. And squalid as they were, they never bothered to tidy up until it wasn't a Saturday. Vinish was the worst. He would skip 3 days in a row without taking his bath, too. They were about to lie down on their beds when there was a knock on the door once again. That bastard, Jeet, don't open it. He must have come for the sugar again. Vinisha replied, yeah, seriously, we need to hide our stash. Kabir reluctantly went to open the door, but found nobody there. He got out to check the corridors, no sign of anybody. Jeet lived in the house opposite to theirs, peeked to check on Jeet through his window. He was lying down on his bed inside watching TV. What the hell? Kabir looked around, then came back shutting the door. Who was that? Asked a curious Vinish. No one, Kabir replied. Must be Jeet. Kabir didn't know how to respond. He unsure, actually, so he simply nodded. Then he went back to his bed, body arrest. The dim light from the window came directly into the room. Lights were out, but there was an ample radiance inside. It was about 3 a.m. in the night when Kabir felt he was dreaming. He could hear a slurping noise in the back of his mind as something was being licked. It brought him back to reality. As he struggled to open his eyes from a deep slumber, his back pressed against the mattress, hands on his chest, his face facing the ceiling. The fan spun slowly. He knew he was awake. He was parched, so he thought he would get some water. But to his surprise, he couldn't move. He was having a sleep paralysis episode, he thought. In the background, that noise of licking continued, coming from his right. Vinish slept towards the right, too. He wondered if that was Vinish who was making that noise. Then he felt as if something was moving around, changing the position while licking. Kabir put all of his mind into rolling over to see what it was towards his right, but he couldn't. All that power he felt in his daily exercising regimen, and yet he felt so powerless as if hitting the gym weren't enough. He tried lifting his hand, but it seemed to be riveted to his chest. He closed his eyes once again and waited for his sleep paralysis episode to get over. The licking grew stronger and stronger, sometimes stopping altogether when someone or something moved around, only to return after. It went on, and Kabir didn't know how to react primarily because he couldn't. After about 10 to 15 minutes, when he chose to close his eyes, that he felt his nerves relaxing and his body taking back control. He reopened his eyes, and when he felt that twitch in his body signal that he was once again in control, he turned around to check. There was no one there. Towards the right on his bed, Vinish slept with his back turned towards him. There was no sound of licking. There was no sign of anybody. He thought it must have been a dream, but it felt so real. Knocking that thought off, he slept comfortably, this time turning over and going under the sheets. The next morning, Vinish was getting prepared to leave for the college. He shouted like an alarm, "Wake up, sleepyhead. You have overslept. Time to go." Reeking of lethargy, Kabir rolled over in his bed, yawning and stretching. Meanwhile, Vinish moved along in supersonic speed, scuttling for things. He stopped to look at Kabir and then pointed out something on the floor with his toothbrush. "Hey, by the way, weren't we supposed to clean it during the weekends?" He was pointing to the floor when Kabir heard that. He sat up in his bed and looked at the spot to his right. It was all clean, all tidied up. Spick and span, there was no sign of any food stains. Kabir felt a rush of dread charge up his brain. He had thought he was hallucinating in the night. Clearly he wasn't. And that is the end.
Holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit. That fucking story. Can you imagine just hearing that in the middle of the night, not being
able
to look?
There's a fucking licking sound going on there. Like,
just getting a shitty blowjob in the middle of the night.
Right? Like,
that's what
Jesus
my brain
Christ,
went to. But fucking sleep paralysis, dude. I've actually had sleep paralysis. It's not fucking fun. That is some scary, weird shit.
That's what they say, yeah.
I've had one weird thing happen to me, and it was just like, I thought it was one of my roommates. I think it was Isaiah. I thought Isaiah was in my room, and
okay.
He wasn't. I couldn't move. I couldn't fucking.
Oh, yeah.
And he was shit. All like, "Hey, Ethan, you ready to go?" And like, his voice, everything, it was weird as fuck. It was so vivid.
Huh.
The next one was really creepy, and it was like this scary, like, shadowy old woman thing, and it was just fucking creepy. And, no, yeah, I've only had it happen twice, and it's just, no, I hate it.
I don't think I've ever had sleep paralysis I know of, unless maybe I did when I was a kid. I had some fucked up weird dreams.
See, and that, maybe.
And maybe part of some of it was sleep paralysis. I don't know, because it felt so real.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, it's just, it's, ugh.
And then again, like I said, your mind rationalizes things to make you be able to understand it better. Like, it twists things to make it a little more understanding.
And it's just, and like we were talking about earlier, sometimes your brain kind of...
Yeah, it fucking...
Plays tricks.
You know, I mean, there's been times where, recently, actually, I've actually started seeing things out of, like, the corner of my eye. Like, just movement. And it's one of those things where it's like, did I see what I thought I saw?
Or was it like a cat?
Or was it just, no, because I'll be at work.
Oh.
And see it.
Oh, at work? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, not just here at home, but I've seen it at work. I've seen it, like, I'll be in the car or driving home from work or something, and I'll see something, and I'm like, was it, especially late at night, it's like, was it just a light that flickered that I saw, or, you know?
I try
to rationalize it a little bit, you know, and especially these days, you know, being, you know, empty house, fucking, it's super fucking quiet, and I don't know.
It's fucking, oh,
it's,
God.
It's weird. It's weird to think, like, that, you know, you start seeing things, and you're like, was that my imagination, or... did I actually see something, or is it just like a piece of lint on my glasses, or
a
you
smudge
know,
on the window, something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just so fucking weird, and you just never, ever know.
Yeah, but like being stuck, though. Stuck.
Stuck, yeah. Being stuck and not being able to move, and being wide awake and not being able to move, like sleep paralysis. Yeah, that, you can't, maybe... And
they're fucked.
Sleep paralysis is a legitimate thing that
people
is scientifically
through.
Proven. It's real. It's not made up.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a real thing. But just the, like I said, for me, like recently just starting to see stuff out the corners of my eyes. Is it something? Is it not something?
A manifestation of fear itself?
Who knows? You know? And I guess only time will tell in the next little while. I'll just keep you and everybody else updated. What happens, you know?
If you experience it, you fucking let me know, because that'll fucking get you.
Yeah. No, if I start experiencing more stuff than just like what I think I see, and it's not even like I think I see a humanoid shape or anything. I just see something. It's just like so fast.
Yeah.
That it like when you're driving and you pass a light and it's just like, you know, yeah. It almost like that kind of. Sometimes it's a light color. Sometimes it's dark. It's never the same color.
It just varies.
It's either black or it's white.
No gray.
No. No gray. It's either a black blur or a white blur, and it's never in the same spot. Like, it's not like it always happens when I'm in the car, or it always happens when I'm sitting on the couch, or it always happens when I'm laying in bed. It's fucking random. Random shit.
See, that's I hate that feeling.
And it is an unnerving feeling. Like I said, especially with an empty house. It's
creepy.
It is.
It's really creepy. Well, that's all I had today.
And that was that's enough to get me like, fuck, holy shit balls.
Yep. Well,
You know, I'm gonna be hoping that it's the Bell Witch and she comes and fucking rapes me in the middle of the night. At least I'll have a little action.
Yeah, a little raping going on. I like that.
Is it rape if you're welcoming it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Not really. I mean, I wouldn't.
I mean, I guess
Bell Witch just sounds rapey, but I mean.
I guess there's like consensual, non-consensual play. We could always. Maybe that's what the Bell Witch is into.
Bell Witch is just always drunk, and she's just coming in like, oh, I'm gonna fuck you.
Just get over here.
Ding, 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 ding. Just fucking. Oh, God.
Round one.
Slap. Shit. Well, guys.
It's been fun. It's been spooky. Lots of cool shit coming out, coming down the pipelines.
Hey, you said it. And make sure you guys like, subscribe, and follow the Facebook page as well. Yeah, definitely. Yes. You guys want to get updates on more episodes, we post it on the Facebook page every week. And we also, new episodes come out all the time.
We also post other content on there as well.
Yep.
Horror-related stories, funny horror memes, just anything horror-related we post in there.
Yep.
So if you want to...
Come join the fun.
Join the fun, laugh at us, laugh with us. Get scared.
Definitely go follow the fucking page. Yes.
See what the fuck's out there. Connect with other fearful followers.
Hell yeah.
So on that note though, see you later, fuckers.
Woo!